Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, regular listeners, you may have spotted that we've changed our name. It's now Honey & Co. The Food Sessions.
So if you hear this sound, it's just us making dinner.
Well, that and the fact that we're not allowed to use our old title anymore.
It's just been a bit of a thing, but don't worry about it.
We hope you enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Sarit Thacker.
I'm Itamar Srulovic. Together we run a couple of Middle Eastern restaurants in London.
And we also do our fair share of food writing.
And welcome to Series 6 of Honey & Co.
We host in our little deli, Honey & Spice, on Warren Street. We talk to chefs and cookbook writers and waiters and managers and people we admire from the world of food.
This season we got to meet some incredible people. We've cooked their food. We've learned so much. We are so excited to share this with you. Tonight we're joined by Nancy Singleton Hachisu. She is one of our absolute favorite writers. She has opened the door to Japanese cooking for us. She's here with the book Japan, which is an all-inclusive, all-singing, all-dancing book about Japanese cooking. We talked about Japanese farm food. We talked about how important ingredients are. Nancy brought all her own sesame seeds. She doesn't travel without them. It was a magnificent evening. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. All the way from Japan, guys, we are so happy to welcome to the Honey & Co. Nancy Singleton Hachisu. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Hachisu.
Yeah. I have to say that Nancy did a much better job pronouncing my name, which is a real challenge. You practiced a bit.
No.
Nancy is a Californian.
Yes.
Originally. She lived in Japan since 1988. My wife and I, we love Japan. We love Japanese food. We were always a little bit intimidated by cooking it. And I think Nancy's books were kind of a gateway for us to see that, you know, it's just like any other cuisine. It has a few, you know, of its own rules and its own mechanics. But for us, Nancy made this food, Japanese food, so accessible and so easy. Please join me in welcoming this wonderful food trader. So tell us a little bit about, you were born and raised in California.
Yeah, I grew up in the 60s, pretty much 60s, 70s in Bay Area, California. And then moved away for a few years, came back for college. And then I was working in front of house restaurants and having the time of my life, but decided I needed to get a more serious life.
Grown-up job.
Yeah, right. And so graduate school was the thing we all were going to be doing, and law or business were the two options in these days, you know. So I did want to go to chef school, but I also like languages. I love sushi and sashimi, so boom, my next language is going to be Japanese. Go to Japan for a year. Ha-ha, learning Japanese. I get some base and then go to graduate school. But instead, I met the cute farmer boy and and never escaped.
So did you just come for a year and then the rest of your life?
Yeah, well, you know, I was applying to graduate. I got there in the summer, and I was applying to graduate schools in the fall. And I realized actually at that time, whoa, it's gonna take me. I'm not in the headspace to actually even think about going to graduate school right now. It would take longer for Japanese, and I was just scratching the surface. When I first got there, pretty soon after that, I told the school I was working for that I would be staying for another year, 2 years.
So was it love at first sight?
Well, it was. I mean, there was the red string, or the we call it, but there was a definite some sort of a ping.
Yeah.
First time he goes, like, he called me. Asked everybody. I didn't want to call them Mr. Something. So I said, I'll call you your first name or something something son. Hachi-san. Then he says, call me Todd. Then the next time, because his name's Tadaaki. The next time he didn't come, and then I noticed. Then the next time he says, call me Rodrigo. It's like,
okay.
Because he had been in Brazil for a year.
Yeah, he
was an interesting guy.
Falling in love with a guy and with a country, with a culture.
Yeah, I mean.
With a cuisine, or was that not as obvious?
I mean, it was, it was more the cuisine than the country. You know, there's a lot of there's a lot of differences in the culture. In February, so I arrived in July, and then in February, we were going to get married. It was a big decision. Both of us had to think.
Obviously,
about
you took your time off, right?
Well, not that long.
All of 6 months.
I know. Well, you know, but I was also 33 at the time, and so he was too. I was his first girlfriend, actually.
Really?
Yeah. But and once I knew I was going to be staying in the country for the rest of my life, because I asked him, could you come with me to California so I could go to graduate school? He goes, I have no interest in America. It's like, okay. He wanted to go to Germany.
Glad we have the conversation.
Wow, shut that down.
Yeah.
So, but once I decided, I mean, there's things like girls are not supposed to sit, even young girls don't follow this, but sit cross-legged. Even the kids in the school call it daddy style, sitting. You're supposed to sit on the floor with your legs like that, and not supposed to use oshibori on your face and things like that. It's all changing, but after I decided I was going to stay, I started wearing my shoes in my apartment. I checked it out. It was fine.
So, yeah, it works.
I just like, also my sister came and she was wearing her shoes like, she was wearing them in the tatami room. She was so unruly.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So it was quite a culture shock. I mean, it is.
Yeah, once you know you're going to stay, then you really have. I was an exchange student in Belgium when I was 17 with AFS, and there was a program that really stressed you got to become Belgian. And I looked Flemish, and I had a little accent in my French, and so, you know, people thought I was Flemish. I really lost my American identity, and I realized that that was not a good thing. And so I had to find my way. To find your way, how can you do it using the philosophy behind the culture, but also do it your way, like all the present giving. I didn't just go buy a box of soap and give it as a present, which was a really common present in those days. I made homemade, you know, food gifts for people, and I just changed it that worked for me. But there was a lot of bumps along the way.
You kind of spend your life in quite a rural community, and
it's, you know, semi-rural, small community, and the parents.
Because your husband is a farmer.
He grows the rice and wheat and vegetables for the family, and that is a farmer. Then the house itself, they were silkworm farmers. They never sold vegetables at any time in the course of their. And then after the silkworm production, whatever, cartilage industry went off to wherever it went, his father was raising chickens for a chicken laying company. My husband ended up having a free-range egg business. That was his, but now he's growing soybeans and wheat for the soy sauce company because the chicken coops got destroyed by snows. We had massive snows a few years ago.
You find yourself in this rural Japanese community.
Mm-hmm.
You have kind of an affinity to cooking and food.
Yeah.
And that was kind of your in to the society?
Well, yes and no. Actually, when I first went to Japan and I had my little apartment about 45 minutes away from this town, I had my first party because we all do that. We Americans love to get people together. And so the first couple of cookbooks I had one was shoji ryori, it was temple food, and the other was some sort of, you know, home cooking. And so I had a little party and I did temple food. And none of my friends had ever, you know, cooked it or maybe even tried it, you know, and so it was a big success. And then the second time I did home cooking, like mizutake or something like that, and I'd never eaten myself. And then they had lots of kibitzing to say about that. And then I realized, why am I cooking Japanese food for my Japanese friends? That's insane. So I went back to Tokyo and I got a couple, because I had always cooked from cookbooks, and I got a couple of Southern cookbooks. I was always available, the Lee brothers. And I'd never eaten Southern food, but went on to the Southern food. Anyway, that stopped me, actually. I stopped cooking Japanese food because my husband's a really good cook. And I cooked Western food. And then for many years. And he did the Brazilian and Japanese food, and I did all the other countries' food Fine. And then David Leibovitz said, he's a blogger in Paris, he's like, if you live on a Japanese organic Japanese farm, you should write a book about the, you know, 100 best farm recipes. And I was like, I realized everybody wants me to write this book. I had thought of like doing something smaller, you know, in Japan. And I was like, I'll do that book.
So up until then, you were just cooking burgers and...
Not burgers! Are you kidding me? I was making confit and sausages, and I was full on. Don't say that.
I bet you were.
I do cook burgers, though. Yeah. I have the best hamburgers in the world.
I'm sure that when you do...
homemade buns.
Yeah, I'm sure that your burgers are awesome. Don't.
You know, but the thing is, you know, when you're cooking all your life, I've been cooking since I was 10, and let's do the math here. But, you know, and you're eating it all the time, I know how to cook. And so... And I was there for like 25 years before I really full on. I was making tempura and salads and things like that that I couldn't stand not to be perfect because I liked those foods. But anyway, I just asked my husband, oh, how do you make nikujaga, which was one of his dishes? And he said, put a bit of da 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 da. And then I made it, and it was perfect. In fact, it was better than his. Is he going to hear this?
Well, that's up to you.
Yeah, right.
So then this is when you decide to kind of delve into the...
Well, it was my thing.
His side of the...
Well, yeah, but actually, I mean, partly the recipes in Japanese farm food were things we ate. Some of them were things like the zucchini recipe with the sesame was just something that I you know, came to me... Just a few. There were some things from our friend Kanjan, the chef who has a soba restaurants, and then I moved on to, you know, preserving, and then this material is 70s and 80s, and it mainly sourced from two women that I highly admire. One of whom wrote a healthy Japanese cookbook called Nantoka Kenko Ryori, and it was pre shojin type. Pre-temple food,
yeah.
And when she was cooking it, and it's not 100% seasonal, 100%, but I really tried to squish it into the season, but I followed it true to her ingredients, like the greens we're having today, but she didn't have any proportions, and so I made the decision on that way.
Yeah.
So it's mine and hers, you know, and also I'm doing this in this era, plus I'm using amazing ingredients, like the sesame. From Wataman sesame,
yeah.
Osa,
I mean,
best
is,
in the world.
This is another thing that struck me, you know, from Japanese farm food, from this book, is how deeply connected you are to your produce from the from the produce of the farm,
right?
Which, you know, really, I would like read about your rice, and you know, there's a beautiful bit about the sweet corn.
Mm-hmm.
In Japanese, that really, you know, you can almost taste it.
Mm-hmm. So even when I travel, like I was here for a week cooking at Carousel, and I know Ikuko and Robin at Namayasai. And I knew Ikuko since we were first married because she was a student doing karate with my husband's group. And I knew their vegetables, and they came to study with our farmer friends. So I knew their vegetables would be really good, and they really were. And so, we have them today. The greens are from Namayasai, and the daikon is all from Namayasai. It was very important, and I brought all of the soy sauce and the sesame oils, everything, and miso. We didn't have miso today.
I have to say, I went to Japan Center last night.
Did a pretty good job, pretty good.
And then I got all these things, and I said, every single ingredient, because Nancy told me, yeah, I'll bring, but I said, well, just in case, or, you know, if she couldn't find, I didn't want to have... So much pressure on her, but
I live for pressure.
Yeah, well, bring the pain. Yeah, I did get everything, which was a little bit of a shame. And this is actually would be really helpful because I, you know, in Japan Center, there's, you know, a million varieties of everything. But of course, if you don't speak Japanese, it's really hard for you to understand what's mm-hmm. on the label. So I ended up buying the American brand.
No. He did it. That was it's English. Clearspring?
Oh, really?
He's British. Yeah.
Christopher
Dawson.
I didn't know.
Oh, he might be American, but he lives in Britain.
Yeah.
He has a big
connection. What you're eating tonight? None of what I bought yesterday went. Nothing.
The rice.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry.
You know, I brought rice from our farm for Carousel, and I wasn't sure we were doing rice today, and it was really like I was at max.
Yeah.
Max. But Clearspring does good rice.
Yeah, well, it came out
and
nice.
All the flavoring is a la Nancy,
yeah,
from my producer people. Not many Japanese are using the good products anymore. It's Kikkoman, Yamasa, Marukami Miso, Mizukon Vinegar, Slam Dunk, you know, but...
Do Japanese people seek it out, the you know, the traditional makers? Is there awareness?
It's coming, it's changing. And that's really the farm-to-table movement and the idea about artisanal. It's more the younger people or people who are macrobiotics. They're really concerned about the... It's definitely, I mean, it's always been there, but a really small percentage of the population. Organics have been really low. Like, my husband is does farming at Shizen Noho. It's like more than organic. It's organic plus no animal products on the field. And so our local, his mentor... is the farmer I was talking about. He's now close to 80, but he and his wife changed their whole farming to be natural farming 60 years ago, and that was really unheard of, like majorly unheard of. And I'm sure they got a lot of flack for it because those bad Americans pushed those chemicals on the Japanese after the war. And it's still a way of life, you know?
Yeah.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But you still manage to find the, you know, the makers of the most incredible soy sauce.
Yeah, that's in our town, and they really hold the line. And most organics coming out of Japan are made with Chinese beans and Chinese materials. I'm not saying it's bad. But the Chinese organic soybeans are less expensive than Japanese conventional. And Japanese beans have been grown for, you know, miso for almost 1,000 years, and then tofu along the way, and then next soy sauce. So they're grown for these culinary applications and not for max oil output.
Yeah.
So they're particularly well-suited to these. And if... the big companies stop buying from the Japanese farmers, it'll be like sesame. Like, Japanese sesame is pretty much non-existent. My sesame guy buys from Tunisia and a few other places. And at first I had a problem with that, but it's just so amazing, his roastery.
Yeah.
And there is no production anymore because the big companies, sesame companies, stop buying Japanese sesame. They're buying from China.
It's too expensive.
So it can happen with soybeans. And soybeans and rice are the two most important crops in Japan. I mean, that is the food. So it's, so that's why I keep like talking about it, you know, wherever I go,
but
even
what,
in Japan.
What can we do, you know, here in the West that we do have actually access to quite a lot?
Yeah, I mean, it's.
Is there any way that we can know?
I only know because I check the websites. And the Japanese websites, whatever is not written, like if it never says Japanese soybeans, it's never Japanese soybeans.
Yeah.
So now I'm not a great Japanese reader, but Mr. Google is my friend. And if it doesn't say Japanese soybeans, it's Chinese or American or Canadian. If it doesn't say barrel fermented, it's totally not. If it doesn't say organic, it's absolutely not. And so it's just things to know about there's a soy sauce maker, pretty crappy soy sauce maker, that sells fancy bottled soy sauce in America for way more expensive because they bottle up fancily and it's non-Japanese beans and non-Japanese, not organic, and non-Japanese beans and wheat. And they're fancily packaging it and selling it more than our beautiful soy sauce that's packaged by Osawa. So it's,
yeah.
I think I have a real problem with that. I don't like tricking people like that. There's a company in Australia called Fino Foods, and I sourced their lineup. If you want to know, go to Fino Foods' website and see what Nancy Hachisu picked. It's right all there.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely, you do need to do some research.
Yeah.
But I think what we loved about when we first saw Japanese farm food, and this book as well, this book even more so, because this book is a lot more accessible.
Very accessible.
Is that we have this kind of reverence for Japanese food and Japanese culture, and a little bit, even for us, that we're professional chef, a little bit intimidated towards that food.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, these books have really helped us approach this food. You don't need to be so fussy. That said, she is so fussy. But this, I don't think that's...
Don't touch my rice balls.
Yeah, no, she's so fussy. Which is the biggest compliment, of course. But I think that's kind of, if you're a cook and you care about this, you are fussy.
So people, there's messages that it really bothered me a lot. Like some cookbook authors would say, oh, in Japan, they always have white and green and brown on each meal. The different color things. That's every meal has this set of colors, which is like bullshit because everybody's just trying to cook their dinner and get it on the table. Or every meal we have salt flavor and vinegar flavor and this flavor, that, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, if it's a restaurant or, you know, if you're doing this stylized cooking, but otherwise people are just trying to cook their dinner, you know. And so to say all that, and then people feel like they have to do that menu. I mean, Japanese are famously, I feel like they bring dishes that never went with my food, and I felt like I didn't want to match it, but they very happily put all sorts of dishes together. It's very democratic in the approach to food.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not fussy about putting this and that together. It's just like, get the food on the table and let's eat.
Yeah.
I feel like the people I know.
Came across so strongly from, you know, again, this book for sure has most of the recipes are so accessible. There's not a lot of ingredients.
Right.
But what is our Japanese pantry? What do we need for easy Japanese cooking?
You need soy sauce, and hopefully get a better soy sauce because, you know, my brother-in-law works for Kikkoman, and they do have different levels, you know, but the lesser ones are made from, soybean grits and not round soybeans. And they don't have as much flavor, and so you're going to have to glug, glug, glug much more in. But so get a good soy sauce, get the best, that's accessible, get the best mirin you can, mirin you can, again, accessible. And then I think Clear Spoon probably does a good job. Eventually, I like Mikawa mirin, and I think it's possibly that Clear Spoon sells that one. And then get the best miso that you can. And that's all you can do. Well, then sesame's the next. You can use British salt. I like sea salt.
Yeah.
I think that's a
slam dunk. We have good salt.
Yeah, you have good salt. There's no reason to like fuss about Japanese salt. And a really good rice vinegar, which is much more challenging.
Yeah.
Iojos or Senari are the ones that are actually starting to be available.
A lot of what we buy here is rice wine vinegar.
It's grain flavored, ethyl alcohol. Was, I think, some amazake. So, but if you're going to have to use the really poor ingredients, you should match poor with poor. Like, don't waste a beautiful mirin with that crap vinegar.
Okay, break it down for me again. Sorry.
You should use equal ingredients. If you go low level kikkoman, marukan, marukome miso, and
ajinomoto. Like, if you're going to trash it, then trash it all the way.
No, if you can't afford it or you don't care or whatever. But don't go michi machi. You know, the best stuff, like mikawa mirin, mirin, and that yamaki soy sauce, they enhance each other.
Yeah.
You know, whereas mikawa mirin would overpower a lesser soy sauce. I mean, like, you can drink it. It's so delicious. And the soy sauce is made with spring water, so it's, you know, really bright, yet it's all really deep. You know, it's all coming. Changing thing is really this sesame, Wadaman sesame. He's the best sesame roaster in the world. Did you guys taste that? The sesame was incredible.
Yeah.
Wadaman, Wadaman.
And we can buy it here? No.
Starting to be, it's Umami it's an online, based in whatever you call that country next. France. you British people love that, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And but John Old, what's up?
We just call it Europe now. We don't differentiate. It's just like there. Yeah.
Yeah. John Old from the Wasabi Company, I think he's really motivated to bring the. I don't know if Wadaman has said yes yet. And same with Yamaki, the soy sauce and the miso.
What is the kind of Japanese technique or dish or the entry level? What do we start in?
I think ayamono, the chapter of ayamono, it's like something dressed. It's our, you know, I'm not Japanese, obviously. So when I say our, it's just because I'm living there for 30 years. But it's the equivalent of the Western salad, though Japanese love salads now. It's definitely a part of the cuisine. You probably, if you've eaten Japanese food, you know the spinach with the goma, the sesame dressing.
Wow.
This book, what I have to admit that I don't pay for my sesame. So he sends it to me, and I tested this book with his beautiful sesame, and it's very sesame-centric, or forward. There's a lot of sesame in there, and almost obscenely so.
In our company, we use, 10 kilos of tahini a day.
Oh, my God.
So you're amongst friends here.
Yeah, right. Wow.
The friend of a sesame is our friend.
Yeah. Right. Vegetable dishes are very approachable. Also, there's in the rice section, a lot of, I don't like as much the takikome gohan style, which is where you put stuff in and then you cook it with the rice. I like a freshy taste.
Yeah.
And so there's quite a few recipes of where you cook your rice and then you fold something in, like as simple as ginger juice, you know. And those are quite nice and delicious and very good miso soup recipes, if I could say that.
You could, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely you can. What drives you crazy in Japanese food in the West? Or our perception of Japanese food?
The perception.
Where to start?
Yeah, it's like sushi is a restaurant thing. We call them shops. But, you know, it's not something you really, except for the country sushi, which is actually kind of a pain because you have to simmer up a bunch of pieces and put it, like, there's about 8 things. It takes a while. My mother-in-law used to do that, and it's not something that I'm going to be doing
it's
every
not
day.
Like a Wednesday night dinner.
Yeah, but that's the only sushi we'd ever eat. Or the hand, we make it yourself at the table thing. We're never going to make rolls. Those are restaurant meals because Soba Guy does it so much better, and ramen for sure. There's a recipe for ramen, but what you see is restaurant food here, basically.
So we don't get a glance into home cooking, really.
Yeah, but it's not just home cooking. It's also a real thing in the West where every kind of cooking, Japanese cooking, is in one restaurant. And how is that possible? They've got ramen and sushi and God knows what.
Tempura. You know?
These are things that people study for, you know, it takes you 7 years to master something is certainly a saying, but probably takes you 10, you know.
I want you to join me in saying a great big thank you for Nancy. I said to these guys, always, you know, do meet your heroes, because it's, it was such a pleasure.
I was very excited to be to come. So, hero back.
Yeah. Well, mutual admiration. So thank you so much, Nancy.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Our latest episode. If you'd like to join one of the next talks, please follow us on social media at Honey & Co or go on our website honeyandco.co.uk. With a huge thanks to Hester Kant for producing.
A special thanks to our own Louisa Cornford for her wonderful research.
And the music is by the lovely Alice Russell. Thanks for listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.